The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter Number 20, Texts Number 25, 26, 27, and 28, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshanda Sathikari, recorded on July 8th, 2010, in Los Angeles, California, USA.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto Number 5, Chapter 20, The Structure of the Universe, beginning with text 24, and we'll see how far we go. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Evam Purishtat Shiradat Parita Upaveshita Shagadvipa Dratting Shalaksha Yojanayama samanena chadadhi mandodena parito yasmin shoko namo mahi ruhu svachetra vyapagatishako yashahi mahas rabi gandas tam dvipam anusvasayati. Outside the ocean of milk is another island, Shakadvip, which has a width of 3,200,000 yojanas. 25,600,000 miles. As Kraucha-dvip is surrounded by its own ocean of milk, Shakadvip is surrounded by an ocean of churned yogurt as broad as the island itself. In Shakadvip, there is a big shaka tree from which the island takes its name. This tree is very fragrant. Indeed, it lends its scent to the entire island. Tasyapi prayavrata eva dipatir namna mehatati sopi vyabhyaja sapta vashanani pruta nama namani teshu svat majan purajaja manojvaja pavamana drumanika chitarepa bahurupa vishadara samgyan Nidha yapidizan svayang bhagavat yananta aveshita matis tapovanang pravivesha. The master of this island, also one of the sons of Priyavrata, was known as Medhatiti. He also divided his island into seven sections, named according to the names of his own sons, whom he made the kings of that island. The names of those sons were Purujava, Manujava, Pavamana, Durmanika, Chitrarepa, Bahurupa, and Vishvadara. After dividing the island and situating his sons as its rulers, Medhatiti personally retired and to fix his mind completely upon the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he entered a forest suitable for meditation. Etesham varsha mayada girayo nadjascha saptataiva ishana urushringo balabradra satakechara sahasrasvato devapapalo mahanasha iti anagyaruda ubhayaspritir aparajita panchapadi sahasrasustir nijadritir iti. For those lands also, and there are seven boundary mountains and seven rivers. The mountains are Ishana, Urushringa, Balabhadra, Shatachektara, Sahasrasrota, Zevapala, and Mahanasa. The rivers are Anaga, Aryada, Ubayasprishti, Aparajita, Panchapadi, Sahasruti, and Nijadritti. Text 27. Tadvarsha purusha ritavratta satyavratta dhanavratta nuvratta namano bhagavatam vavyamakam pranayama vidutta rajastamasa paramasamandina yajante. The inhabitants of those islands are also divided into four castes, Vritta-vratta, Satya-vratta, Dana-vratta, and Anuvratta, which exactly resemble Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. They practice pranayama and mystic yoga, and in trance they worship the Supreme Lord in the form of Vayu. Anta pravishya bhutani yobi bharyatma ketubi antrayamishvara sakshat patuna yadvaseis putam. The inhabitants of Shakadweep worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of Vayu in the following words. O Supreme Person, situated as a supersoul within the body, you direct the various actions of the different eras such as prana, and thus you maintain all living entities. O Lord, O supersoul of everyone, O controller of the cosmic manifestation under whom everything exists, may you protect us from all dangers. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Through the mystic yoga practice called pranayama, the yogi controls the airs within the body to maintain the body in a healthy condition. In this way, the yogi comes to the point of trance and tries to see the supersoul within the core of his heart. Pranayama is the means to attain samadhi, trance, in order to fully absorb oneself in seeing the Supreme Lord as antaryami, the supersoul within the core of the heart. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajiva Sadvaitam Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha. So, if we told the layman about these different planets in the universe, he would think we were crazy, isn't it? They think we're nuts. So, are we nuts? No, we're not nuts. These great acharyas, Mahajana, Yena, Gatata, Panda, they are not nuts. They are the most enlightened personalities in the history of the universe. They have perfect knowledge. They are Trikalagya. They are perfect knowledge, knowers of past, present, and future. So, if all these planets are out there, all those different oceans are out there, why NASA hasn't discovered them yet? One could ask. If they're really there, then surely our scientists would know about them. Well, there's a lot more to reality than meets the eye. I mean, it's a very practical thing. Just like they have that dog whistle, you know. You can blow the dog will hear, but we cannot hear. So, there are many instruments that can expand our ability to perceive infrared, ultraviolet light, etc., etc. We can take our imperfect senses, and through manipulating the material energy, we can see a little beyond what our senses can see, but that's simply an expansion of our imperfect senses. With your imperfect senses, sir, you have expanded your ability, but you're still perceiving imperfectly. They are guessing, they are speculating. And they are not steady in that speculation. They're constantly having to revise their theories. As I explained previously, one time I attended a meeting of scientists at the University of Florida. Actually, the science students came in huge numbers for this meeting. And one eminent PhD from, I think you're Griffith, that is Los Angeles, yes, Griffith Observatory. Yes. One of your eminent PhDs from Los Angeles, he came all the way over to Florida to tell us about the black holes in outer space. So I, at the end of his very flashy presentation, they used three-dimensional they had a display on the wall to demonstrate, to show us all about this wonderful new discovery of the black holes. Then it was open for questions, so I asked and raised my hand and said, well, is this a theory or is it a fact? He said, I think it's a fact. Note the word, I think. And then some other questions came in. Again, I got my hand up and recognized. And I said, it was a loaded question, actually. I didn't mean it to be a loaded question, but it came by Krishna, let it be a loaded question. I said, throughout the history of modern science, we have seen that one theory comes into popularity for some time, and then it's replaced by another theory. So, my dear sir, how do we know that your theory will not be replaced by another theory? And he fell for the loaded question because he just said it was a fact 3 minutes ago. And then he admitted it was actually a theory. He said, and he says, I hope it is. I hope it is defeated because then we will be making progress, you see. And they call this science, you see. They call it science. And yes, I know it will be defeated in the future because it's not absolutely true, but you know, it's the best theory we have right now, and it's not really absolutely true. And as soon as they show it's completely false, and that'll be great. So actually, it was already proven that it was false by the argument that I made. So science advanced that night, but I don't think anyone got it. So the fact is they're being misled by these rascals, as our Srila Prabhupada so aptly pointed out. I remember him. In those days, Prabhupada was spending a lot of time in Los Angeles, and I was far, far away over in Florida, but you all over here started the Bhaktivedanta Tate Ministry, and you could get a standing order. It was so nice. Every week we got the hottest tapes right off of Venice Beach in the temple room. It was so wonderful. Even though we weren't here getting the nectar like the devotees here in Los Angeles were getting, you know, Prabhupada's darshan, but we were serving in separation. But when those tapes came, wow, the latest arguments on Venice Beach against the scientists. So fantastic, you see. So this is the great mercy of Srila Prabhupada, to argue so strongly against these scientists. But you know, some people complain that we like you, Hare Krishnas, but you know you have one weakness. You people are argumentative. I just got an email today, actually, that some Ryan, he said, "Namaste, I appreciate very much for the emails you send out on your daily question and answers, but do you know that you're argumentative?" You should understand, you should be aware of this in your yoga practice, that you are argumentative. In other words, I'm just trying to be giving you some constructive criticism, you know, that you're being, you're argumentative. Of course, actually, he is making argument. If being argumentative is not good, then why he's making the argument that we're being, that I'm being argumentative, you understand? He's really defeated himself by even putting forth the argument. If being argumentative is not good, then why are you putting forth the argument that I'm being argumentative? If you really believe in not being argumentative, then you would never raise the objection that you're being argumentative. That's one point. But the other point is that actually, in a society where everyone is being misled, misguided, and cheated, the innocent people are suffering like anything due to ignorance. Argumentativeness is not egotism. Argumentativeness is compassion, actually. It's compassion. So when Prabhupada made all these wonderful arguments day after day after day on Venice Beach, I mean, it was just the sweetest nectar, sweeter than the sweetest honey. Now, some of it was kind of edited down. I didn't really like when they did that, but you know that life comes from life. If you listen, look in the Veda base and see the actual thing that Prabhupada said, maybe it was edited down for general public consumption. I like the unedited version. In the edited version, Prabhupada says, you know, the more you can defeat the arguments of Darwin, the more you make advancement. But on Venice Beach, he actually said, the more you can kick Darwin in the face, the more you make spiritual advancement. I thought that was a little more enlivening, the unedited version. The more you can kick Darwin in the face. I mean, if we can get him to roll over in his grave, that would be really, you know, that'd be really good. Roll over, Charles Darwin. So, what is our position then of arguing the fifth canto? Of course, Sataputta Prabhu, the late, our beloved Sataputta Prabhu, who has now moved on to higher realms, he has very kindly given us much ammunition in this regard. One of the... there's some description that he actually brought out in his book how Arjuna was going into higher realms of this material world in the Himalayas. In other words, even in this material world, because our senses are limited, like that the dog, you know, can hear things that we can't hear, and so many, as an example, in so many ways. In other words, not only can we not see the spiritual sky, we cannot fully see everything in this material world either. That's the point. We can't see everything that's here also. So it's not that these statements of the fifth canto are mythological or fanciful imagination, or some, you know, fables. This is reality. And one can actually go to these planets. Actually, Prabhupada describes on the way back to Gaudiya, you can see all these planets, you see. On your way back, you can say, oh, look. Yeah, the Bhagavatam is right. Look, there's Pushkaradweep. You see. There's Shakadweep. When we go on the Vaikuntha airplane, we can check it out, you know. Just like I've never been to the Alps, but on our way to Mayapur, we saw the Alps out of the airplane window. Oh, look, there are the Alps. So in the same way, you see, we can confirm the authenticity of the fifth canto as we're going on that Vaikuntha airplane, you see, traveling across the universe, penetrating the coverings. That's really amazing, you know, that the empty space in the universe is just like a pinhead compared to a humongous shell. It's just amazing, actually. The Vedic cosmology is really amazing, really amazing. So, We see how the inhabitants of these higher planets, you see, they're all absorbed in worship. They're not like the planet, the population of the earth planet. Here, these Shakadvi Vasis, you see, they're all engaged in worshiping. This is high class, you see, high class life. Worshiping God, you see, that is high class. Nowadays, the atheists, they are making propaganda that if you believe in God, you are low class. You're some ignorant sentimentalist, you see. That's the propaganda they're trying to make, you see. Actually, they are making it. And they're making great inroads at the present time. With this bogus propaganda. Therefore, Prabhupada taught us that we should become Digvijay Pandit. Digvijay means one who conquers in all directions. You see. Just like that Keshava Kashmiri, you know, in Chaitanya Leela. Digvijay Pandit. Everywhere he went, he conquered everyone, so they called him Digvijay Pandit. So Prabhupada told us that we should become. He said, you should go and make Digvijaya. You should go to every town, every village, and you tell them, there is God, I can prove there is God. Who are you who say there is no God? Come on! That is Digvijaya. So we're definitely argumentative. Prabhupada ordered us to be argumentative. You see, that is compassion. So the more we can argue against this material society, the more we can defeat Darwinism and hedonism and all the bogus isms that are, you know, circulating through this material society, that is how we can please Srila Prabhupada. You see. That is love, you see. That is genuine love. The more we can please our beloved Srila Prabhupada, that is actual love, you see. It's not egotism. It is actual love. So in this way, we should boldly challenge the society. This is the greatest sport. I was just preaching in South Africa. We got out just before the World Cup started. I mean, the airport was really crazy. They were blowing horns and dancing. It was a mad scene. I was glad to get out of there. You know, it was a big thing, the World Cup, you know. Who's going to control that little soccer ball the best? Millions of dollars spent to celebrate this little, you know, pastime of little soccer ball, Leela, you know. Millions of dollars for soccer ball, Leela. Actually, it was kind of funny because the South African government wanted to advertise, now that apartheid is over, now we've really come of age here in South Africa. But some of the reporters who came in to cover the glorious event were robbed in their hotel rooms. $35,000 of the camera equipment ripped off from one of the reporters. Actually, before apartheid in the Indian communities, it was very, you know, you live peacefully. Now there's barbed wire everywhere. And thick, it's like every house is like a fortress with thick, huge bars on the front door, every single window. You see, that's the advancement of getting. See, they think they can solve the problem by apartheid, bodily consciousness. And yes, it was not good. What they brought in, you see, is just another form of bodily consciousness. If you remove one form of bodily consciousness and replace it with another one, where is the progress? Actually, they have more unemployment now than they did before. And the crime is just taking off unbelievably, you see. Unbelievable crime rate. So if we want to actually solve the problem, you see, then we have to come to the transcendental platform. So anyway... The greatest soccer game is to get control of the ultimate soccer ball, you see. And what is that ultimate soccer ball? We're sitting on it right now. The planet Earth is Maha soccer ball, you see. And right now, there are two teams fighting to control that soccer ball, the Asuras and the Asuras, you see. It's like we have our Sura Prabhu, you see. This is the Sura team. You see, we are the Sura team. And there's the Asura team. Right now, the Asura team, they have the ball under their, completely under their control, you see. What is that called? Underdogs. We are the underdogs in this soccer match. The Surites. You see, we are the Surites. We are the underdogs. The Surites versus the Asurites. We are the underdogs in this competition. But we have one ace up our sleeve, and that's Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They have the personality of Kali, and we have Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the odds are ultimately in our favor, even though it appears now completely hopeless. And as I quoted, I think on my last visit here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Saj Jana Durjana Pangu Janda Anagana Premavanyaya Dubaila Jagatera Jana. This Krishna consciousness movement, it is Prema Tsunami. And it will inundate the entire universe, drowning everyone, whether they are Satjana, pious, Durjana, impious, lame, indolent or blind. Everyone will become drowned. So, we're going to win, Prabhus and Matajis. We are going to win this soccer game. So we just got to hang in for the fight, you see. Just have to hang in for the fight. We're going to win. If we don't see the victory now, it'll come in future generations. At least we can plant the seeds now, you see. Every book means another seed, you see. Every Harinam party, every pakora, every plate of halava, these are seeds. Bhakti seeds being planted, you see, to bring a complete revolutionization of this planet. So, it's pretty ecstatic. It's called cutting edge life. To be a preacher of Lord Chaitanya's movement means you're living on the cutting edge. You're on the vanguard of the greatest paradigm shift that has ever happened in the history of the universe. What could be sweeter? You see, what could be sweeter? Sitting pretty, they call it. We're selling. This is the most ecstatic sitting pretty lifestyle you could ever have. To be on the vanguard, pushing for this movement. You see. Actually, to meet a devotee out on Sankirtan is the great. I met this Prabhu here yesterday at the airport. I was in complete bliss after being stuck in that. You know, for 14 hours with all the non-devotees flying from Sydney, and then to see the book distributor at the airport, I'm, wow, sweetest nectar. Because especially these Sankirtan devotees who are out there distributing the books, you see. And everyone who's supporting them also, who are helping them to do that work. This is bringing about the revolution that Prabhupada envisioned for the world society. So we're the lucky participants in the ultimate spiritual revolution being led by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. We may not be very competent, but well, look what Lord Ram did with those monkeys. We may not be very competent, you see. We look at the backgrounds we came from. We may be a bunch of monkeys, but doesn't matter. Those monkeys were deputized, they were empowered by Lord Ram, and they did incredible feats, incredible valorous feats against those powerful Rakshasas. So even though we are not very competent, we are not very qualified. And by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada is deputizing us, He's empowering us, He's giving us adhikar, empowerment, for pushing forward this movement on His behalf, you see. So there's no greater blessing actually than to be in this position, humbly serving the order of Srila Prabhupada, engaged in revolution of this planet. That revolution begins right here, you see, right here in the heart. Because we will only become empowered to revolutionize this planet to the extent that we have revolutionized our own hearts. That famous Prabhupadaism, you know, physician, heal thyself. So whatever extent we have successfully been able to revolutionize our own hearts, you see. To that extent, we are empowered for revolutionizing this planet. Therefore, this morning program is very, very important thing. This Japamala is very, very important thing. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Actually, that world revolution is right there in the bead bag, you see. Because Srila Prabhupada explains that when one becomes completely pure in his chanting, this is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita purport, one becomes completely pure in his chanting, he becomes Jagat Guru, and the whole world will then take up Krishna consciousness under his influence. So that means to whatever extent we have actually become free from Nama Parad, to that extent, Prabhupada will empower us, you see, to act as his agents. Jagat Guru will empower us as his agents. To whatever extent we've gotten free from Nama Parad. So it's the greatest adventure, actually, to unlock that divine consciousness which has been tightly bound up in lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy for millions and billions of lifetimes. It's the most ecstatic awakening. To come out of the sleep of delusion, to come back to our true identities as eternal spirit souls, servants of God, Krishna, you see. So in this way, if we can understand what it means to become Krishna conscious and what it means to be compassionate, then our lives will be unlimitedly glorious. So, I can ask now if there's any questions. Yes. I probably won't be able to hear you, but somebody may have to whisper, tell me in my ear, but I'll try. That'll make it worse by the echo. My hearing is really bad. But well, I'll try. Let me really try hard. I'll try really hard. If you just tell me right in my ear, then that'll be the easiest thing without the microphone.
I'm just curious, what is explanation? I never hear about black hole. Is Prabhupada ever said something about that?
I don't recall ever seeing anything that Prabhupada said about black holes. But I can just imagine Prabhupada would say, I know where one black hole is. It's in their brains. I can imagine Prabhupada would say something like that. Yes, there is black hole. Any other questions? Archita Prabhu.
Hi, Krishna, Sankarshan Prabhu. Thank you for a wonderful presentation. Maybe just a little caveat in terms of time, place, and circumstance. I mean, I'm not saying that you did this, but it would not be appropriate to say apartheid is good when you're, or even imply it when you're in South Africa. Just like one devotee in India was preaching strongly publicly against Ramakrishna, and the crowd almost attacked him.
Satrigna, can you come and repeat to me what you're saying?
So, in other words, we have to understand that Ramakrishna mission is from our perspective, we wouldn't preach publicly very strongly against them in certain quarters. So, similarly, if one is in Africa, it may not be so good to even imply that the party was anything good about apartheid because you won't get attacked.
Okay. Not a word could I make out, but I appreciate you. Whatever it was, okay.
He was implying about South Africa. You're preaching so strongly in South Africa. You know, you said the reporters went there and they got robbed, and you're preaching so strongly about the soccer itself. So he's implying.
What's the question?
The strength from preaching itself. Your implementation of applying yourself when you preach strongly in South Africa, maybe not so strong.
Is there a question?
It's a comment.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much. Yeah, this preaching is really wonderful because the more you put your faith in it, the more you get empowered, and the more you get empowered, the more you get more faith, and it's just like, it's just, you know, preaching is the ultimate ecstasy. I mean, some devotees don't even want to go back to Godhead because they want to stay here birth after birth because, I mean, there's just so much nectar here, you know, in preaching Krishna consciousness, you know. I mean, there's nobody to argue with in Goloka Vrindavan. everybody's in agreement. But the interesting thing is, you know, in the fifth, here in the fifth canto, it's described that Palamaraj is simultaneously in the spiritual world and the material world. So that makes us wonder, well, Srila Prabhupada, is it possible that then if a devotee wanted to go back to Goloka and also continue preaching, he could do both things? Interesting question we could ask Prabhupada, you know, if we had a chance. Since Prahlad Maharaj is described as being both in the material world and the spiritual world simultaneously, is it possible that one who is following purely in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj could do the same thing? He could be in Golok relishing Radha and Krishna's pastimes and be here serving Lord Chaitanya in complete ecstasy at the same time at the airport. Actually, it's described that Bibhamangala Thakur, he was sitting in Vrindavan, he had completely entered in the spiritual world. So, you know, it's another example. In other words, actually the spiritual world is there within our hearts. It's just a matter of how deep we go into the Hare Krishna mantra. Because if you actually go deep enough, you'll find yourself in Goloka Vrindavan. The Hare Krishna mantra is the doorway, the portal to Goloka. And if one goes deep enough within the mantra, you'll actually find yourself in Goloka Vrindavan. So anyway, anything else? Question? Comment? Yes, Savasprabhu.
On that particular point, Prabhupada did answer that question. He was asked, are you in the material world? And Srila Prabhupada said, no. And then he was asked, well, where are you? Prabhupada said, I'm in the spiritual world. And he gave the example of how he says, I'm now in America, but I'm not following American ways. So Prabhupada said that if you follow the spiritual ways, you're in the spiritual world. If you follow the material ways, you're in the material world. So he said Krishna consciousness is in the spiritual world.
That's right.
If you follow strictly.
He always told us these temples are not in this material world. That's a thing.
What's that?
These temples are not in the material world. So actually, if one fully absorbed himself in Lord Chaitanya's movement, he's already in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna at that very minute. This Sankirtan revolution of Prabhupada, you see, this is Lord Chaitanya's lila. So actually, to fully absorb yourself in the carrying out the meditating upon and carrying out the orders of Srila Prabhupada, you're actually already in the pastimes of Krishna. So anyway, there's unlimited oceans of nectar right here, right now, in this movement. And now we just got to share the nectar with the whole world so these poor suffering souls can be blissed out, just like the devotees are blissed out 24 hours a day, and the conditioned souls can become blissed out too. So we thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
It's great. Thank you, Shambhu.